Good morning. In some of the headlines, a powerful Bering Sea storm hit western Alaska early today with high winds and surging seas. The National Weather Service has received reports of some roofs blowing off in Nome, where water has reached the base of buildings. Meteorologist Scott Berg says some homes close to the ocean have been evacuated, but there have been no reports of injuries yet. He says a storm surge could bring more severe flooding later today in the Nome area. Berg says blizzard conditions prevailed overnight in several places with sustained winds of 60 miles an hour and gusts to 80 miles an hour. The mayor of Point Hope says they were ready for that storm. Mayor Steve Amatuk says if necessary, everyone in the village of about 700 will go to the school, which sits on higher ground. The storm is packing 35-foot waves as well as hurricane-force winds. Forecasters say they have not seen a storm this big since 1974. Alaska's Division of Homeland Security has been helping western villages prepare for that storm. Brian Fisher is incident commander for the division, and he says most of the communities have been trained in the last few years on how to respond and prepare for this type of disaster.
Checking your power systems, moving boats away from the shore, preparing your shelters, preparing to evacuate people if you think that that's necessary at the local level. All of those precautionary measures have been trained and exercised well in advance of this, so we're confident that the communities were prepared to respond.
Fisher says the division also trains frequently to respond to fall storms. He says a few villages have set up local shelters that some residents are already taking advantage of. The division will be ready to respond to calls for on-the-ground support as soon as the storm lets up and will also help with damage assessments. Fisher says the timing of the storm increases the potential for damage.
Unfortunately, the timing of the year is such that the sea ice is not there, which causes a potential for greater damage than if there was shore-fast ice. So we're going to be prepared to respond to whatever that eventuality is. We've done it in the past where we've had many, many communities all impacted to some degree, and we're preparing for that eventuality if that ends up being the case.
Alaska's emergency alert system test that was scheduled for today at 10 o'clock has been canceled. Officials called off the EAS test because of that severe storm. The national EAS test uses a special code reserved for the President of the United States in the case of a national emergency. The test has never been conducted with all 50 states participating. The national EAS test will proceed in other states. The Coast Guard says rescuers flew a Deadliest Catch crew member to a clinic after he collapsed and showed signs of shock and dehydration on board a fishing vessel in the Bering Sea. The agency did not identify the 28-year-old man, but says he's a crew member of the 150-foot crabber The Wizard, part of the popular Discovery Channel show. Discovery did not immediately provide any additional information. Coast Guard officials say the helicopter crew flew the man yesterday afternoon to a clinic in Cold Bay, and he was then flown to an Anchorage hospital. Waves were only about 3 feet high when he fell ill, and the National Weather Service says it occurred before the arrival of that storm. The Coast Guard has evacuated most of the crew of the 140-foot catcher processor Rebecca Irene. The ship contacted the Coast Guard early yesterday morning to report that they had lost power in one engine and had limited propulsion. The Coast Guard cutter Sherman evacuated 20 non-essential crew members of the 34-person crew early yesterday afternoon in relatively calm winds and seas. The 14 crew members who remain on board the vessel probably still face some rough conditions, though. Although the boat is headed for shelter in Yarilla Bay on the north side of Unimak Island, it is only traveling about 6 miles an hour and will have to weather the storm in open seas. There are also 270,000 pounds of frozen fish in the Rebecca Irene's holds. The vessel is equipped with survival suits and 3 life rafts. The Rebecca Irene is also under the escort of the cutter Sherman, which you may remember stopped in Juneau on its way to its patrol in the Bering Sea. Captain Joseph Hester told us by email last night that they were hunkering down for quite a blow. Hester says they took the non-essential crew members off the Rebecca Irene just as the weather socked in. The last run, shuttling crew back and forth several times with both of Sherman's small boats. He says it was really getting dicey, but Hester says the crew made him proud. Even as they were engaged in the real deal mission, highly qualified boat coxswains were using the time to qualify new coxswains. And one man did an outstanding job coming alongside the rolling Rebecca Irene and recovering several of their crew climbing down the Jacob's Ladder in their survival suits. In other news, locally, Juneau police say the man and woman involved in Sunday's fatal fall into Cowie Creek on Douglas were running from officers responding to a disturbance call. No foul play is suspected in that incident, which left 22-year-old Evan Marshall Smith dead and his 18-year-old female companion injured. Juneau Police Department spokeswoman Cindy Brown Mills says police responded to a disturbance at an apartment on Foster Avenue at approximately 2 a.m. Sunday morning.
Apparently there was a disturbance out in the parking lot, and that's what they were called to. But when they got there, the people that were involved in the disturbance had gone into the house.
Brown Mills says when police tried to contact the people involved in the disturbance, believed to be Smith and the girl, the pair jumped out a second-story window in order to avoid talking to officers. She says they apparently ran into a wooded area where they fell off an 80-foot cliff into Cowie Creek. Brown Mills says alcohol was likely a factor.
Apparently, there were some possible minor consuming issues.
The incident remains under investigation as an accident. Brown Mills says the name of the girl is not being released by them because she has not yet been charged with a crime. Weather forecast for the capital city calls for some decreasing clouds for most of the day today, with a little bit of fog in some patches in the capital city area. High temperature today should be about 40 degrees, with a chance of rain late tonight, with some increasing clouds and a little bit of fog. Low tonight about 33 degrees, and then some more rain for tomorrow. Temperatures between 33 and 42 degrees. Currently 36 degrees in Gustavus, 33 degrees in Hoonah this hour, and a little bit of fog still reported at the Juneau Airport, 29 degrees. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour. Good morning. In some of the headlines, the Justice Department is wrapping up its probe into allegations of misconduct by prosecutors in the 2008 case against former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. That's according to U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, who fielded questions about the botched Stevens case yesterday from members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Utah Republican and longtime friend of the late Ted Stevens, Orrin Hatch, pushed Holder.
Clearly bothered.
I don't see anything being done about it, to be honest with you. And frankly, if we have that kind of prosecution going on in this country, and I know you share my view on this to a large degree, if we have the prosecutors running wild like that and ignoring the law itself, something as important as exculpatory evidence that has to be given to the defendant in a criminal case, you can see why some people are losing confidence.
Alaska's 40-year Senator Ted Stevens was prosecuted in 2004 for failing to report gifts on his financial disclosure forms. He was convicted 3 years ago, but allegations quickly surfaced afterward of misconduct by prosecutors. Attorney General Holder inherited the Stevens case from the Bush administration, but concerns about prosecutors withholding evidence and improper behavior by the FBI led Holder to ask that the verdict be dismissed.
You know, I was bothered by what happened there, and I made the decision. I made the decision to drop the case. The matter has not, however, been dropped. OPR, the Office of Professional Responsibility, is looking into this matter. They are at the last stages of their examination of what happened in connection with the Stevens case. There is a multi-100-page report that is just about finalized, and I think we'll see what their conclusions are.
Senator Hatch and other members of the committee, including Democrats, pushed Holder to make those findings public. Whether or not they will be is still in question. Holder said it's up to the Office of Professional Responsibility, but he wants as much made public as possible. Ted Stevens lost his bid for re-election in the wake of his conviction 3 years ago and died in a plane crash last summer outside of Dillingham. California Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein with this comment.
I might add the tragedy of the Stevens situation is that Senator Stevens is no longer here to be able to see the result of your examination. So I would just like to agree, Mr. Attorney General, with what my colleagues have said. I think this is very important that whatever happened be made fully public and never, never happen again.
Six Justice Department attorneys have been under investigation for how they handled the Stevens trial, and one of them committed suicide last year. A special prosecutor is conducting a separate investigation into the Stevens case under orders by the judge who presided over the trial, but there's no word on what it has found so far. Juneau Representative Beth Curtula has filed a letter of intent to run for re-election in 2012, though the makeup of the current District 3 is still unclear. When the Alaska Public Offices Commission asked where she would run,
I put down all of the places that I know potentially can be in it. Petersburg, Gustavus, Tenneke, Skagway, and Juneau. So wherever I wind up, I'm going to run.
The redistricting board has redrawn the current District 3 to include those communities, but a pending lawsuit could change it. However it turns out, Kurtula says she's looking forward to an expanded district.
I just think it is exciting to get new issues and new people and to think about sort of in a holistic sense how Southeast itself operates. When I think about what this district means, it really kind of would be the glue to the whole Southeast.
Kurtula, a Democrat, is in her seventh term for House District 3, which currently is downtown Juneau, Douglas, Lemon and Salmon, and Schweitzer Creek areas, and the Juneau Airport area. She's also in her fourth year as minority leader for the State House of Representatives. A letter of intent is only the first step. She still has to file with the Division of Elections, and that's not required until next spring. Meanwhile, the Alaska Public Offices Commission has filed a complaint against David Scott, who announced last month that he will be running as a Republican for Ketchikan's new House district. APOC contends the Ketchikan resident should have filed a letter of intent or registered with the Division of Elections before publicly announcing his candidacy. On October 18th, Scott emailed to various media outlets around Southeast a press release announcing his candidacy for the House district. Scott sent the email from his personal computer on his own time, according to the APOC complaint. Scott has until November 10th to respond to that complaint. Staff then has 30 days from that point to complete the investigation and file a staff report. And APOC will hear arguments this morning over whether to dismiss a complaint against Lieutenant Governor Meade Treadwell. APOC staff has alleged that Treadwell's campaign did not timely and accurately report spending to a law firm, failed to properly amend reports for spending at a restaurant, and did not accurately report expenditures to an advertising firm that APOC staff says provided discounted services. The allegations stem from Treadwell's run for office last year. Treadwell's attorney has denied that the campaign received any discount, and he said in legal documents that the campaign timely reported all invoices from the advertising firm. Treadwell is seeking to have the complaint dismissed. APOC staff is seeking a full hearing on the matter. Updated forecast for the capital city area, just updated a few minutes ago, calls for mostly sunny skies for Hoonah, Gustavus, and Juneau, with a little bit of fog in some patches for this morning. Otherwise, high temperature about 40 degrees, and then some clouds moving into all three communities tonight with some patchy fog. A chance of rain late tonight. Low temperature should be about 33 degrees. And then the snow level at about 500 feet for the capital city area for tomorrow, with some rain in the forecast. Temperatures between 33 and 42 degrees. Checking current conditions around Southeast, 36 degrees in Gustavus, 33 degrees in Hoonah, and 29 degrees at the Juneau Airport. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour.